Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Forever Dog.
I used to think that this was my town. What a stupid thing to think. I hear you biting off a brain now. I myself am on the brain. I used to want to be a real man. I don't know what that even means. Now I just want you in my arms again, and we can search each other's dreams.
What's up, 3Bs? What's up, Diamond Dogs? What's up, Athletic Gerbils? It's Rhea Butcher, the host of this here podcast. It's called Three Swings. It's a podcast about baseball and other things. Today, it's going to be mostly about baseball, because baseball is mostly what's happening. The World Series, still going on. Thanks for hanging in there with this likely mad as hell sort of format that we're doing. The off days are helping to put all these days together. And can I just take a moment? Number one, some gratitude. Thanks for listening. Glad you're here. Hope you're staying sane through all this. Kind, gentle with yourself, feeling your feelings, you know, and little actions to help yourself and other people. Thanks for listening. I am going to express some gratitude that this is the first year since starting this podcast and in the Likely Mad as Hell tour diary that I've been able to see every game of the World Series. That haven't had like work come up. That has always been the case. I was, you know, gratefully given opportunities to do shows or shoot. I did two Dope Queens in the middle of the 2017 World Series. And so I missed the games that year of most of the games. I watched game five, but, yeah, I've had opportunities, which so grateful for those opportunities. And now I'm grateful for the opportunity to watch the whole thing. You know, I was really not feeling baseball this year and really feeling like it was yet another, you know, thing, institution that was letting us down and tricking us and all these things. And it's like, I mean, I can't stop, you know, it's bigger than me. I can't control it. And, you know, sometimes participation isn't advocating for the worst parts of it. If that was true, then I couldn't participate in baseball at all, because then I would be advocating for all the things that we talk about on this podcast, which, by the way, I talked briefly last episode about Julio Urias and his domestic violence disputes, allegations, because the charges were dropped. So I can't really say whether it did or didn't happen, but it seems to me that something not great happened. And then also the clubhouse minor league stuff from a couple years ago, 2015, somewhere around there. So I donated to the East Los Angeles Women's Shelter. I read their website. It did not seem to have any sort of exclusive language in it. It said all are welcome. It does use the word women's shelter. So my hope and belief and faith is that they follow their word, which is that all who come to their doors are welcome. And so because it's Los Angeles, I donated locally, and I donated $100 for his start. I would rather just give $100 because he's starting than do like a $5 or $10 or whatever for every strikeout. It's just like, I would have definitely spent, you know, $100 to get to a game this year, and I couldn't because there wasn't any baseball to go see. So I was happy to donate that money, and, you know, I wasn't happy to watch him pitch. it didn't make it any different, but it felt, you know, energetically sort of reparative to send something somewhere as opposed to just be mad at him. You know, like, it made the anger a little more manageable, I guess, and I wasn't, you know, so disgusted. It's like, hopefully that $100 can help with something, you know? So I encourage you to donate to anything that you find to be in need right now, if you can. Money is always helpful, but I think also, you know, time, caring thoughts. I know we make fun of thoughts and prayers all the time, but sending love and positivity to places is a valuable thing. If that wasn't true, why were you listening to my podcast? You know, if that wasn't a true thing, then why are you listening to anything? You know what I mean? So yes, well, I think that, you know, politicians saying that on Twitter after, you know, atrocities are committed is pretty hollow and hypocritical. That doesn't mean that those two things don't mean anything. It just means that it doesn't mean something when those people say it, because they are in a position to take some sort of action and they're not doing it. So slightly different, you know, and also thoughts and prayers lead you to action. You know, that's what I've learned in the past couple of years of my life, is that those two things are not the end. That's merely the beginning. You know, like today I was just spending some time like putting some good thoughts into my head. And I was remembering how, like, years ago I used to think about how, oh, this is just like Pollyannish, or, you know, what a stupid thing to, like, how dumb, you know, like, oh, I just think positive thoughts and everything gets better. And it's not the external doesn't change. It's that the inside changes. It's that I'm literally not feeding myself negativity. And I'm not telling myself like, oh, everything's great. I'm not the everything's fine on fire dog. You know, I'm actually taking a moment and going like, oh, I'm okay. I love you. It's okay. Like, what do you want to do today? You know, instead of going like, you piece of shit, what were you thinking? Wow, let's think about third grade and how you said that thing to your teacher and it was really embarrassing. You know, it's literally that. It's just like flipping a channel from like, you know, somebody screaming at you to somebody like engaging you in conversation. It's literally can be that small. So yeah, it's all about reframing. And, you know, I was just texting with bench coach Brett about this episode before I hopped on the microphone to lay down the track, as they say in, I don't know, rock and roll, R&B, I don't know. And we were just talking about like what great baseball is being played. You know, I wasn't able to catch like every game of the division series. I watched a lot of the wild card series, but all the games that I've watched have been exciting. And have been full of tension, you know, and I think I say this every year, but I mean, I think it's a positive to say this every year. Like I started regularly watching the World Series again in 2015. That was the first one that I started to really pay attention to it again, to really get back into baseball. Basically after LeBron James went back to Cleveland, I was like, okay, I think maybe I can pay attention to baseball now. Francisco Lindor was playing and he, you know, and to be totally truthful, I was excited by the Cubs. And then that all played out in notorious fashion. But every year it's been exciting. And this year, I said to him, this World Series, every game feels like game seven of 2016. You know, with the exception of maybe game two. I don't know. Game two was kind of like not quite as exciting, but it's still like baseline pretty exciting, you know. There haven't been any out of reach games so far in this series. And it's been really exciting to watch. And we are getting the benefit of a really well-played World Series, a really well-matched World Series, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, there's all these other negative things that I could bring up, like seeing all the fans without masks on, worrying about the stadium being a vector, the players are spitting and not wearing masks and giving high fives, and yet they won't let them throw around the horn. You know, like, it's pretty ridiculous. But at the same time, we're getting, like, you know, world-class baseball, which is not to say that the World Series before this were not. It's just that this is like, it is like every pitch is important. Every game feels like game seven. And like, that is what you want out of a World Series. And it seems to me that even people whose teams are not in this World Series and who are fans of baseball in a way that they're still willing to watch a World Series are excited by it, you know, which is great. Because they have no, you know, dog in the fight. I feel like most of those people are probably cheering for the Rays. It looked like it from that map that was going around on Twitter. But, you know, here we are watching some really great baseball. And I just am really grateful for that. That's basically it. I'm just really great. Just really grateful for some really great baseball and to be watching it. Something just flew in and out of my mind of like something I wanted to bring up. And now I don't know. This morning I got up early, took my dog for a walk and went to AutoZone and bought some coolant for my car because my light came on yesterday. And I did all that instead of like going to the mechanic and it worked. So just passing this along that like there are many things that we think we can't do, but we can't totally can. So just give it a try. You know what I mean? Like whatever it is you think you can't do today, maybe try it, you know? And yeah, give it a shot. You truly never know what you're capable of. Because if you just keep thinking you're not capable of it, you never will be. But if you think, I wonder if I could do this, you've got at least a 50-50 chance of being able to do it. You know what I mean? You got a 50-50 chance of being able to do it. And we'll get into probability later when we talk about game four. But we'll get into, we're going to get three games. We're getting the whole weekend recap right now. And thanks for being willing to roll with this sort of schedule. It's been a lot easier to just cover everything on the day off, you know, as opposed to like trying to cover each game. So, all right, game three, the Dodgers rebounded quickly from their loss in game two, zooming out to a 5-0 lead by the fourth inning behind a first inning Justin Turner home run and RBI hits from Max Muncy, Mookie Betts, and Austin Barnes. Austin Barnes hit a hit, bunted an RBI sacrifice to score, and then later hit a home run, a solo shot home run, and he's the first player to do so in a World Series since 1961. These are the stats that I live and die for. Dodgers starter Walker Buehler threw 10 strikeouts, had one walk, and only one earned run in six innings, becoming the first pitcher in World Series history to strike out 10 batters in an outing of six innings or fewer. Buehler now has a 1.28 ERA in his past nine postseason starts and could be eligible again in the series if it goes seven games. Charlie Morton took the loss for Tampa Bay. Charlie Morton came into this game with a 0.57 ERA. He was undeniably the best pitcher in the postseason so far, and the Dodgers got to him early. Aggressive bats, patient at bats, and then waiting for their pitch and not missing. Five of the Dodgers' six runs in this game came with two strikes and two outs that pushed their postseason total of 252 out runs and 36 two strikes runs. Both are postseason records. And speaking to postseason records and just generally this postseason, I was texting with good friends of the show, John Wolf and Adam Conover of Adam Ruins Everything and other projects. And, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, going into this postseason, I was like, there's no way that history is going to look back on this World Series without, you know, some sort of weird lens of it not being sufficient, you know? And I think that now that we're in it, it absolutely is I think everyone will always, it will be the year, the pandemic year, no matter what, even if we have a pandemic still going on next year, which is very possible. And I don't say that to be negative. I just say that to be realistic. Like we will still be feeling the effects of it. And who knows what that's going to do to baseball. And at this point, I really don't care. There's other things we need to do first. But realistically, if we are not going to put an asterisk in the 2017 and, let's be honest, 2018 World Series.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And then I would even say potentially the 2019 World Series, not for the Nationals, but for the Astros. The fact that, you know, this blatant and absolute sign stealing was going on, if we're not going to actually put that in print, then we're not going to do that for this either. You know, like, if that is true, then also this. And so whoever ends up winning this World Series, because it is still up for, you know, it's not done. Seeing what is happening on field, and we, you know, we will, it, perhaps this is a segue into the next game, but, you know, we're watching some real baseball. Like, this is real baseball, you know? And I would say, you know, we get mad. I get mad about the shift. I get mad about all these statistics and, you know, managing from the iPad and probabilities and futures and all the, you know, the Wall Streeting of baseball and the venture capitalism of it. And the, I would say, McKinseying of it at this point with the sign stealing, you know, all of these lamenting, you know, exit velocity and, you know, all of this stuff like flyball revolution, juice balls and all this shit. And then when you realize that, like, the sign stealing scandal had to happen, so everybody had to sort of revert, and like both teams are playing small ball and home run ball. And I, for one, am so grateful that it's all back, because I got tired of watching batting practice. I got tired of watching, you know, the three probabilities. I got tired of watching, oh, we're either going to get a home run, a walk, or a strikeout. That is a one-on-one game. It's a one-on-one game. That's not fun, and it's not a team sport, and I don't like it. And so I'm just grateful that this World Series is not about the three possible outcomes and is actually about every possible outcome that you could ever have when you play baseball. And I missed it. I missed it a lot, and I'm loving this. And, you know, getting to see Walker Buehler succeed, and then, you know, I have thoughts about whatever. His pants are really tight. He uses pine tar clearly. Just to see him in an exit interview afterwards and, you know, graciously accept that he is, despite the fact that he is the ace of the team, he is not the number one. And he accepts that. He is accepting of that, and he is open to it, and has a little bit of attitude, but not about the fact that he's behind Clayton Kershaw, who, despite what you think of him, will probably make it into the Hall of Fame, you know? And that's just something that I think is important. The postseason records, I think, you know, do we get these same kind of postseason records in a 162 game season? Maybe not, but you know what? Maybe we needed it. maybe we needed a short season to see what baseball can really look like, you know? And I don't really want to advocate for a shortened season, because I, you know, I'm old school when it comes to, like, baseball is baseball, and I don't really want to see the game change very much. I want to see who plays it and how it's played change and evolve and open up and grow. But I don't think there's something about, you know, the length of the season that to me is important to the sport. However, I just argued that it isn't, so I don't really know. So moving on to game four, the Rays fought back in game four, winning a wild back and forth game that featured four lead changes and one of the most improbable endings in World Series history. The Dodgers took a 2-0 lead in the top of the third behind home runs from Justin Turner once again and Corey Seager. Turner's home run was his 12th all-time postseason long ball, moving him ahead of Duke Snider and making him the Dodgers' all-time leader in playoff home runs. Turner also became the first player in World Series history to homer in the first inning of consecutive games. Crazy. Randy Arozarena and Hunter Renfroe answered with solo home runs in the fourth and fifth inning. That was rookie sensation Arozarena's 9th home run of the postseason, making him the all-time home run leader for a single postseason. Although Corey Seager is lurking right behind him with 8 home runs this postseason. And then after a Kike Hernandez RBI double, the Dodgers went up 4-2 going into the bottom of the 6th when Brandon Lau hit a 3-run home run to put the Rays up 5-4. This was after a pitching change. I disagreed with the time that they pulled Urias. I disagreed with every pitching change in this game 100%. I have multiple people telling me I'm wrong and multiple people agreeing with me. But I just, to me, the amount and speed with which Dave Roberts pulls his pitchers, grinds on his defense and grinds on his offense. And you can see that in the next game that we'll recap. So I'll wait to get to that. But I feel as though this many pitching changes and this many. Now, I listened to Talkin' Baseball, the John Boy podcast, because I wanted to hear somebody else's take on it. And, you know, they basically, each of those guys had opposite reads. And, you know, they're laying out a formula of like, well, this is who's ready. This is who's solid. This is who's. And I guess there's a part of me that's like, okay, the formula makes sense. To me, you have a baseline formula and you go, this is what we've got. Okay. But then when you can't deviate from that, when you can't look at the game, when you can't see what's going on, and the only thing you're looking at is like decreased velocity over the, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I can't explain it to you any other way than it doesn't feel like you're paying attention. And it does at this point feel like he's just doing the bidding of somebody. It's like Deal or No Deal. And he's Howie Mandel. And he just has to like take these like instructions from this shadowy figure in an office who's pulling the strings and pushing the buttons and telling him what to do. And none of it has anything to do with any of the people playing the actual game. And that is super frustrating to me as a fan of this team. And just in general, it looks bad. And I feel like if I was on the Rays, and I feel like when I'm watching the game, I can easily put myself into their position because, I play baseball and I love it and I can do that. And B, I've watched them play a lot of games and I could see it happening. You know, it's like going back to the Joe Kelly thing in 2018 of like Rich Hill is dealing and we don't know what to do with it. Oh, they're taking him out. We got this game. Like, it's absolutely true. You know, it's absolutely true. So you can send me all the like, yeah, buts, yeah, buts, yeah, buts. And like the players know it. So Brandon Lau hits that 3-run home run to put the Rays up 5-4. And then the Dodgers retook the lead in the following inning when Jock Peterson roped a single to right that scored Seager and Turner. Now, Jock Peterson was a pinch hit for AJ Pollock, who is their center fielder. So then Jock Peterson came in left field, and that moved Chris Taylor to center field from second base, and Kike Hernandez goes in at second. Well, no, Kike was at second. Chris Taylor was in left, and that moved him over to center because Cody Bellinger was a DH with lower back stiffness. So that's where that starts. Also, this is Brandon Lau hit the 3-run home run to put the Rays up 5-4. And then that Jock Peterson roped single to right was just out of reach of his glove. So my friend Mike, my co-manager, texted me about the ecstasy and the agony of baseball right there in Brandon Lau in a matter of moments, you know. And then Kevin Kiermaier homered in the bottom of the 7th inning to tie the game after a Corey Seager RBI single in the 8th put the Dodgers back up 7-6. Kevin Kiermaier hit that off of, I can't remember now, because it's not in the notes and I didn't write it down. But in the 9th inning, the Dodgers brought in closer, Kenley Jansen, who struck out pinch hitter Yoshi Tsutsugo before giving up a broken bat single to Kiermaier. He then retired Joey Wendell on a lineout before walking a Rosarena on 7 pitches. They had a mound visit to decide whether we should walk the guy or not. Kenley Jansen says he's my out, and then he walks him anyway. The Rays then pinch hit Brett Phillips because they have a shorter bench than the Dodgers because they focus a little bit more on their arms than they do their batting because they're pretty solid all the way through and seemingly don't really need the pinch hitting. Brett Phillips, an August 27th trade acquisition from the Royals, who hadn't batted in a major league game since October 7th. He wasn't even on the American League Championship Series roster. Phillips fell behind in the count 1-2 before sending a Jansen cutter into right center field. Now, let me pause for just a moment. He fell behind in the count 1-2. Some questionable strike calls in that 1-2 count. Also, he was hitting with a 2-strike count since 2018, .090. The probability of him getting a hit here is almost nothing. Hadn't had a major league at bat since October 7th. Wasn't even on the ALCS roster. So he sends a Jansen cutter into right center field for a single. Kiermaier scored easily from second to tie the game. And when the Dodgers center fielder Chris Taylor bobbled the ball, he looked up too early to make the throw and missed the bounce. It allowed a Rosarena to make a dash for home as well. A Rosarena tripped then while running home after rounding third, barrel rolled, got up, and the Dodgers would have had him dead to rights on the base path, but Dodgers catcher Will Smith muffed the relay throw. Mostly because Will Smith didn't see a Rosarena or how close he was or the fact that he had fallen down and thought he was seconds away from him. Because if you watch the replay, Max Muncy slows his throw down because he knows, we got him. So I'm going to make sure I make this throw. The ball skidded away, allowing a Rosarena to score in probably the most beautiful fashion we've ever seen at home plate, which is basically collapsing on the plate and then just patting it and giving the Rays the win. Taylor and Smith both picked up errors on the play. It's a two-error play. Brandon Phillips and Kevin Kiermaier then just airplane through the whole field. Brandon Phillips nearly makes himself pass out. He runs so hard. And then by the time he has to go see the trainer just to calm down and catch his breath again and make sure everything's all right. Then he finally gets to the post-game interview and he just says, man, baseball is awesome. Now, in that moment, I was furious and was like, there goes the series. They just lost the World Series. Here it goes again. Like I blacked out in a crushing defeat. Then the next game, Joe Buck said crushing defeat about 5 times in the first 5 minutes. And I was like, how many times is this guy going to say crushing defeat? My friend was like, was it not a crushing defeat? You were crushed. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Actually, let's be honest here. Kenley Jansen, who was just one of 6 Dodgers pitchers to see action in this game, picked up the loss. Julio Urias went 4.2 innings. Blake Treinen was 0.2 innings. And Pedro Baez was the one that gave up that 3-run home run. Left him in for 1.2 innings. A little thing behind this, too, is that Pedro came out of the inning. Dave Roberts said, your night's done, Pedro. Good job. Then we got the lead back, and he said, oh, never mind. You're going back out there. This is the shit you can't do. You just can't do that. You can't do that. You just can't do that. That's not how it works. You're a manager. Your job is to manage not just the game, but your players. And you can't tell somebody, hey, man, relax. You did a great job. Thank you for showing up. See you next time. And then go, never mind. Get yourself ready to go back out into the World Series. It just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. Clearly it doesn't work like that. They each gave up 2 earned runs. The decision to send Pedro Baez back into the game in the seventh inning after he had given up the Lau home run in the sixth inning was the latest Dave Roberts managerial decision to be widely criticized online. Baez went on to give up the Kiermaier home run in the seventh, and after the game, Roberts took the blame for sending Baez back in, saying that he had told Baez he was done after the sixth, but then changed his mind when the Dodgers took the lead. You just can't do that. The Dodgers once again scored all seven of their runs with two outs in this game. Would love to see them score in different positions, but hey, whatever works. And the Rays just played some heads up baseball. You know, they really did. They didn't. That's the thing about the Rays is they're not missing opportunities when they come by. You know, like I think the Dodgers are missing more opportunities. The Rays are not missing opportunities. That's what's happening by this game. And so then we will roll right into our game five. Game five, surprisingly to me, the Dodgers took game five by a score of 4-2 to go up 3-2 in the series and put themselves one win away from their first championship since 1988. Oh, I just want to go back to the thing with Brandon Phillips saying, man, baseball is awesome. Grateful that I was able to, in a short amount of time, be able to see that for what it is, which is the truth. You know, it hurts to lose like that, but that is the truth. Baseball is awesome. And you are never too good to make mistakes, you know, and then you have to learn from them. That's it. Like that shit that happened in that game, that looked like something from my baseball league. And like, I look at that, you could look at it two ways. You could be like, wow, the Dodgers suck. Can you believe these rich guys making these big mistakes on the biggest stage? Or you could just say like, man, baseball is fucking hard. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And sometimes it just goes like that. And like, it's the same game. It's the same game down the street from you. And it's the same game in Arlington, Texas. And they can never take it from us. No matter how much they charge for it, no matter how much they ruin it, no matter how much they deplete it, no matter how much they lay off the people who have made it the beautiful thing that it is, they can never take it away. They just can't. And that end of that game was proof to me that they cannot, because that is precisely the same kind of stuff that happens in my league, which is a bunch of people over 30 playing a game that they really love on the weekends. You know, that's it. It's the same thing. I watch the same thing happen. So it's not yours. Nobody owns it. I don't own it. You don't own it. We just get to participate in it. We just get to love it. That's it. So the Dodgers put themselves one win away from their first championship since 1988. Jock Peterson and Max Muncy led the Dodgers offense with a couple of moonshot home runs in the second and fifth innings, respectively. Clayton Kershaw took the win on a night when he was solid, if not stellar, with six Ks, two walks, and two earned runs in 5.2 innings. Tyler Glasnow took the loss for the second time for the Rays, with seven strikeouts, three bases on balls, and four earned runs in five innings. The Rays had their opportunities. I was just saying how the Rays were not missing their opportunities. This is the game where they begin to start to miss their opportunities, but went one for seven with runners in scoring position and stranded five. Most notably, in the fourth inning, the Rays had runners on first and third with no outs following walks to Manuel Margot and Hunter Renfroe. Manuel Margot was on one in that game last night, and he wanted it. I would say the Dodger player to me that wants it the most, who is not a pitcher, is Corey Seager and perhaps Justin Turner. That's not to say that people are not participating and not doing their part. Corey Seager wants it. He has been injured and not healthy every other trip to the World Series. And he is not missing his opportunity to show up the way he's wanted to show up for the last three times. And I'm just really happy for him because he's been hurt and unable to do the job that he's wanted to do. And he has been doing it so far. And it's been really wonderful to watch. And that's not to diminish the plays of Mookie Betts or Justin Turner or Max Muncy or Austin, literally anybody. It's just that he has not been able to show up as himself even. And so I'm really happy for him because he just hasn't had this opportunity yet. And it's great. And same goes for Manuel Margot. He was hurt a couple days ago, and that guy last night was on a mission. And it's just like, this is what I come to see when I go sit down to watch the World Series. which is people rising to the moment and realizing where they are, what it can be, and what they can do. Emmanuel Margot was doing that last night. So Rays had runners on first and third with no outs following walks to Emmanuel Margot and Hunter Renfroe and a stolen base and throwing error that moved Margot to third. That was Chris Taylor's missed catch with the throwdown at second. Kershaw retired the next two batters on a pop out and a strikeout. And then with a 1-1 count, that pop out was huge and the strikeout huge also. And then with a 1-1 count on Kevin Kiermaier, Margot tried to take advantage of Kershaw's elongated stretch windup and become the first player to steal home in the World Series since Jackie Robinson in 1955. Kershaw didn't see Margot's initial jump, but when Max Muncy ran in from first yelling that Margot was stealing home, Kershaw stepped off the rubber as to not get a balk and fired a throw home that beat the slide by inches and ended the inning. It looked very close, and it looked as if on the first replay that he didn't get him, but when you looked again, he absolutely did. And like, I just, what a vibe to try to steal home in the World Series. Couldn't have picked a better moment. But I will say, here's what this whole play teaches me is communication and asking for what you need. Clayton Kershaw always talks to his first baseman and says, you got to tell me if they're running home because I can't see. And then trusting that they're going to do it. You know, it's important. It's an important thing. There was another, also just throwing this out there. Two games in a row, Willy Adames has pulled players off of second base in a way that has seemed as though he is not, but he absolutely did. Max Muncy in game four, and then last night, Austin Barnes in game two. It's been interesting to me to see that, not because I'm like pissed and I want him to get in trouble. He has been so troubled at the plate, and I see those two things as linked up. Like, if you do that kind of stuff, it pays off somewhere else. And for him right now, it's at the plate. And he was up at a big moment and couldn't rise to the occasion. And I truly think that when you do stuff like that, now, I've been a dirty player in my life. I threw elbows when I played basketball in elementary school. So I get it. Am I a professional basketball player? Absolutely not. So it didn't pay off, you know? But it was interesting to see that play at second base with Austin Barnes. It didn't really look like much until you saw the aerial view where you absolutely see him push his leg off of the bag, which was pretty funny. So the Dodgers lead the series 3-2. Game six is scheduled for Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The projected starters are Blake Snell, who tossed a gem for 4 2/3 until he gave up, what, two earned runs? Looks terrible on paper, but he was on one. And Tony Gonsolin, who was pulled after 1 1/3 inning. So the Rays are putting up their true ace, and the Dodgers are putting up a former outfielder in a bullpen game for game six. So we'll see. We'll see how this one turns out. But I'm excited about more baseball and can't wait to see it. I hope everybody else is enjoying it. We will have some more shirts up on Trash Canyon shortly. I promise. I have a new patch and a restock of the old one, the Stay Tough, Stay Tender patch. So if you've been looking for that, that will be up on Trash Canyon as well. Yes. So what else? That's pretty much it, I think. You know, keep taking care of yourself and other people. Drink some water. I don't know. And I'll see you on the other side of the World Series.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.